For the thing I made it, it's all about. Praise the Lord, church. You can be seated at this time. Are we going to do the offering right now?
We can.
Well, let's do the offering. Before you sit down, let's do the offering. I just want to be in his presence, and I want to facilitate an environment and an atmosphere where I can lift him up and he just moves in. You know, we're here on a Wednesday night, and these are unfamiliar times for us right now. But we never know when a sovereign move of God is going to happen. It only takes two of us to get together on a Wednesday night, or two or three of us to get together in somebody's house in the living room on a weeknight or on a weekend. But when we start to lift him up and bring his name out in the open, anything can happen. He says, I will be there in between you. I don't know. I just want to allow God to do something, whatever he wants to do. At this time, we're going to let the youth go upstairs, and we're going to take some prayer requests tonight. I want to start out with anybody on this side, if they have a prayer request they'd like to share with the church. Sister Kellen. Okay. Okay. Remember that need. Anybody else on this side? Sister Grimm. Okay. I was just informed of this tonight. Sister Grimm told me that Brother Randall read a letter of resignation this Sunday in Silva's. So, Brother Gary Randall in Mo. So, well, you know what? God's in control. It doesn't matter what we may think, and we need to not allow our own understanding to creep in and take control. We need to surrender every thought right now from here on out before God. Say, God, this is your church. You're in control. We're not going to put our trust in a man. We're not going to put our trust in anything but in you. We're relying on each other right now. We're going to look up, and we're going to look forward, because there are promises yet to be fulfilled. And God placed us all here for a reason. And there's a reason why he went from 30,000 to 300. He goes, I don't want nobody to get glory for what I'm about to do. God is going to get glory for what he is going to do here in Sandwich. And that, make no mistake about it. I'm just thankful that I get to see every one of you here tonight. And that God chose us. We didn't choose this. God chose us specifically to be a part of what he wants to do here in Sandwich in these last days. I have not wavered from what one thing that I believe God is going to do. I am not going to, what God is going to do is not going to be predicated upon any circumstance of what, who's going to be here or who's not going to be here. He's here. He's already predetermined all this a long time ago. And I am looking forward to it, and I'm counting on it, my every brother and sister in here tonight for the next few weeks. And we don't know how long this is going to be, but God knows. And we're going to trust him in this process. They didn't know how long they were going to have to walk in the wilderness, but there's one thing for sure. I believe that trip was would be a lot shorter if every person had a mind made up to say, God, I'm just going to trust you. I believe he would have shortened that trip by many, many years. We're going to come together in one mind and one accord, and we're just going to trust God for the next move that he has for this church body. But we're not going to be self-centered and think about just ourselves. But there's a church in Illinois that is going through something similar right now, through uncertain times. And there's brothers and sisters, part of the body of Christ, that they are surprised at what's happened. But we need to let them know none of this took God by surprise. And not only do we need to be encouraged and lean upon each other in this church right now, but we need to lean upon each other as a church body, as the church itself. And this is a global church. This isn't just, this is a United Pentecostal church, but this church body, we need to rely upon each other. But there are brothers and sisters that are outside of this body that we need to encourage. And we have the opportunity to encourage, because we heard this news before they did. And God's preparing us for what's next. Yes, Sister Kristen. Okay. Sister Pat. Jackson? Okay. Okay, remember that name, Jackson. Brother Mike. Okay. Remember that need, Brother Kellen. Okay. Well, we're going to pray for Brother Kellen, and if anybody else needs prayer, I'm going to encourage every one of us to just come up here and pray. I believe God wants to. Can you come up right now? And we're gonna take these knees before the Lord and pray for Brother Bill tonight. And if you have a need, you're welcome to come forward. Safe travel for camp this week, and Sister Chrissy's going down, and the wheels are in motion, and I believe we're going to hear something out of this week at camp. God is moving down there, and he's giving out marching orders to people this week. Between Brother Bill and I, we've been talking every day this week, and as of right now, tonight, we don't have a speaker for the main service for Sunday morning. But we're going to trust God, that God already has that person picked out. God's not a procrastinator. We're going to trust in him that God has somebody specific for us for this Sunday morning, for the 11 o'clock hour, and he's going to know what to say to this church. So we're going to pray for him in faith. We don't know who that person is, but we're going to pray for him in faith that God would prepare him to come here and speak to this church body Sunday morning. Let's pray. want to say you can be seated at this time. I'm going to ask Brother Bill, can you go back there and make sure we can get the audio on this? I'm going back a little bit. I was in youth ministry for 7 years. I'm going to start out with an object lesson, so I'm going to need a volunteer tonight. And it's going to require you coming up on the platform. I'm just going to let you know. Any volunteers? Yeah? Mike? Oh, thank you, Mike. Mike, I'm going to have you stand right here. I'm going to do something here. Okay, I'm going to use some of these objects here for the object lesson for tonight. And if I can get that little segment on YouTube to pop up. Are you able to do the sound on it only? You're not able to use the sound? Okay. All right. That's okay. I'm going to do plan B. I'm going to let you all converge with each other, make some noise in this place, and I'm going to have Mike do something. I'm going to guide him through this obstacle course by him just relying on my voice. I'm going to get to him where he is right now. I'm going to take him for a little walk, but he may hear some stuff in the background, but he's got to rely on my voice to get to there and back. So, Mike, I want to have you come and take a step forward, if you would. You can make all the noise you want. Keep coming one or two steps forward, Mike. There you go. Now, stop, Mike, stop. Turn right real quick. Okay, now walk forward. Walk forward. Okay, now turn to your left a little bit. There you go. Now move forward. Okay. Oop, there. That's okay. You bumped. Okay, now turn to your left. Turn sharp left. There you go. Now go. Okay, turn to your right just a little bit. Now go straight forward about two steps. Okay, stop. Now turn to your right. Okay. Turn to your right just a little bit more. Tweak it just a little bit more. Okay, now walk forward about three or four steps. But be careful with your, there you go. Okay, now walk forward. Now make a hard right again. Make a hard right again. Okay. Now keep walking. Okay. Now turn to your right just a little bit because you're about ready to hit something. Okay. Now walk towards my voice. I'm just going to have you follow my voice, okay? Just come to me. Do you hear my voice? Okay. Now turn to your left a little bit. Don't listen to D, whatever you do. All right. Okay. Now turn to your left just a little bit more. All right. Now walk to me to hear my voice. Okay, keep walking to me, follow my voice, okay, now stop where you're at, turn to your left, okay, all right, now walk to me about two steps, okay, now stop where you're at, turn to your left just a little bit, okay, now walk forward about two steps, turn to your left just a little bit, okay, now walk forward. Now stop where you're at and turn to your right. Okay. Now turn to your right just a little more. Okay. Now walk forward just a little bit more. Now turn to your right, the sharp right. There you go. Now turn to your right just a little bit more because you're about ready to hit those speakers. Okay. Now walk straight forward the best you can. You really don't know what straight is because you're blindfolded. We're just going to get you to the other side, to this other cone. So I wanted you to do here is turn right. Now I want you to take two steps forward, okay? And I want you to reach your hand out until your hand touches a cone, straight. Now take one more step forward. You're right there. Yes, he made it. Okay. Good job. Thank you, Mike. You did awesome. I wish I had one. One of the perks of being upstairs was bringing treats and cookies and all that stuff. So. It's kind of an obvious object lesson. It's we hear a lot of noise in our life. We hear a lot of clutter. The purpose of that object lesson is to stay focused and hear the voice of God in uncertainty, when we can't see with these eyes what our next move is going to be in our life. And that's going to take some pause. That's going to take some time to maybe we just need to sit still, take a seat, and just wait to hear God's voice. There's multiple times that I've come in this church when nobody else is around, and I would just sit here, and I wouldn't do nothing. I would just wait and say, God, I am not leaving until I hear something from you. There's times I would come here and bring a pen and a paper, and when I would anticipate for him to speak to me, I would start writing stuff down. So I want to encourage every one of you, in the midst of all the noise and the clutter that you hear throughout your day and you hear throughout the week, to meditate and focus on his word and listen to his voice. And that's going to enrich your life. We need that. That's going to help you with your faith, with your walk. It's going to propel some things in your life that you may feel stagnant right at the very moment. So there's something that I do want to share with you tonight, and it's something that in praying for God's direction to speak to the church tonight, it's a simple title called A Servant's Prayer. And I want to go into Genesis chapter 24, verses 10 through 14. The verses will be up on the screen. And it says this: And the servant took 10 of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by the well of water. And at the time of evening, even the time that the women go out to draw the water. And he said, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto thy master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let this same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And when I read this portion of scripture, and in this chapter, there's five things that came to my mind that just kind of popped up, and I want to share them with you tonight. And the first one is a servant that prays on the behalf of someone else. A servant that prays and is an intercessory prayer. He prays in the gap. He prays for the Abraham's servant prayed for the head of the household. He prayed for his master. He was one of those that didn't just pray for his own needs. He prayed for somebody else's needs. I'm sure that Abraham, when he prayed for Abraham himself would pray for the things over his house, that I believe his servant took notice of this, that he knew that Abraham was a praying man. I'm sure that he noticed times when Abraham would go out throughout the week. If it was in the morning, he had a ritual to where he'd just go be by himself. Abraham was known to be a friend of God. So he had this relationship with God, and everybody in Abraham's house knew this. And it's said in Scripture that everybody knew that Abraham was a friend of God. And in Genesis 14:14, it says this: And when Abraham heard that his nephew Lot had been captured, he mobilized the 318 trained men who had been born into his household. So Abraham had a large group of men and women in his house. And 318 of these men knew what to do when they went to go fight. And not only were these 318 men, but I'm sure they had wives, they had children. So there was a large group of people associated in Abraham's house. And this man that Abraham chose knew that this man would have his back, because he knew that if I'm going to be praying, this man is going to be praying with me. Not only is this man going to be praying with me, he's praying for me. Because this is shown in the scripture that he was praying for his master even when he left his house. So he learned some things from his master. He learned to pray for his master. And I'm sure there was times when he was able to pray with his master as well. So the second thing that I noticed in this portion of scripture is the servant that prays listens to the request of his master. And it's in verse 2. It says, "And Abraham said unto the eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my kindred and take a wife to my son." If you're around anyone long enough, you know what that person thinks. You know what that person wants and doesn't want. And I got thinking about this today. When I walk into my house and I see dishes in the sink, I don't have to say anything. They can see the look on my face, and they can see my glance when I look over to them that I don't really like what I'm seeing in the sink right now when I walk in the door. And I was working at Rush Copley this past winter, and we did the fourth floor of the physician's offices. And my boss came in after we had this whole big wing drywall. The painter was painting, and I was putting the ceiling up. And I was going down the hallway with my scaffolding, and he walks in, and he just notices things most people don't even notice. And right at the ceiling, there's this wall molding holding the drop ceiling together, and he's seeing some inconsistencies in the wall. He's like, "Take that all down. I'm going to get the taper over here. We're going to fix this. I want this to look the way that I want to see it." So he did it all over again, over brand new paint. He's like, "I'm doing this all over again." So I know the attention to detail my boss personally has when he comes on a job. If something just isn't right, he's going to notice it. And I was working in a factory just yesterday, and at the end of the day, he mentioned something about, he goes, I need his drywall shimmed up by the shower, but he goes, they're really particular on making sure that it has a 90 degree. And I got thinking, there's one particular shower that I know he's going to catch. So right after I had almost all my tools put away, I was ready to go out to my truck. I'm like, I'm going to go back over there. And I kind of drywalled my way to where I had to walk all the way around out in the factory and go all the way around the long way to get back in, because I hung all the drywall and I was kind of blocked off. So I went all over there for one, I think, eighth-inch shim about 6 feet high. I'm like, I'm going to do this because I know how particular my boss is, and he's going to catch it. And even if the people that are in the factory don't catch it, he's going to catch it. And he's going to say something to me, because that's the last thing he says. Make sure that those things are nice and have a nice 90-degree corner on it. So the servant knows what the master wants and what the master doesn't want. The third thing is, a servant that prays knows that his master, wants and doesn't want. And I want to, this scripture here is in verses 6 through 8. It says, "Abraham said unto him, Beware thou that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of the kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying unto thy seed, I will give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to go to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath. Only bring not my son thither. I want you to do this, but you can't force anybody to come back with you. But you're going to honor my wishes by going forth and doing this. I don't want my son to have a Canaanite for a wife." Abraham was very clear about what he wanted and what he didn't want in this portion of scripture. "God is going to send an angel ahead of you and see that you're going to find a wife for my son." Abraham knew this. The servant didn't know this, but Abraham knew this, and he told him that. And sometimes we see things from a perspective that is kind of narrow. But the servant, he had this narrow vision of what he was supposed to see and look for. But the master had a broader vision. And Abraham knew that that angel was going to go before his servant on this mission that he had him to carry out. It says, God made a promise to me to give this land to my descendants. And God is going to send an angel ahead of those to see that are going to find a wife for my son. I don't know about you, but I want to please my master. I want to please him in this house. I want to please him with the things that I think about. I want to please him when there's an opportunity for me to worship him. I want to put some things behind me. We had a 2 or 3 song set until the next time we get together. I don't want to waste an opportunity to not worship him. I want to please him. That's where we're going to please him. He's going to put us, that smile that he's going to have on his face is coming right from his heart, because you're taking out time in the middle of your week to come here, and you have such a small portion, but you're gathering together in my house right in the middle of the week, and not everybody has a desire to be here, but you do, and you're already putting a smile on God's face. But I want to make him smile, a big smile, a smile that comes from the heart, and I want to worship him every chance that I get. I don't want to waste an opportunity not to worship him. I want to worship him when things are going good in my life. When I have a paycheck and I don't know where my next paycheck is coming from, I want to worship him with a heart that wants to please him and never lose opportunity for that. Not only to have a desire for the things that the master wants, but to cut the things out of my life that he doesn't want. What does it mean when he says that he put his hand underneath Abraham's thigh? Is it a customary thing? Is that just something they did back then? According to a rabbi where I read recently in an article, it says that shared his opinion on this. He said it doesn't literally mean a thigh. It means the mala, the organ of circumcision. The reason is because the one who takes an oath must hold his hand on a sacred object such as a scroll, like a Torah. And the circumcision was Abraham's first commandment, and it came to him through suffering. And it was beloved to him, and he chose it as the object upon which to take the oath. This is his first commandment. This is an act of obedience between Abraham and God. And there was pain that was involved in that act of obedience. There was pain in that covenant to have a relationship with God and Abraham. I'll never forget this, and it's not quite the similar thing, but have you ever gone somewhere and you had to be somewhere and you're hurting inside and you can't really fake it? You try to act like everything is okay, but you're like, Sister Callum, she's real. She shared her heart tonight. We got to be real with each other. I want God to be real with me. And I'll never forget this. And being in construction, this is so out of the ordinary. Because if you don't cuss and you don't drink, you're a bad example for a construction worker. So I was working with this guy, and we hit it off really well, and I know that he feared God, and there was times we would pray together, but I'm like, man, I can't even fake it today. He went over and Jesus put his hand on my heart. He just prayed for me. You ever have times when you're just like, man, there ain't nothing hurts like my heart right now? And sometimes we need a hand. We pray, put our hands on somebody's head, but sometimes we're like, man, my heart is hurting right now. I can't fake it, and I'm trying to make a good face when I come here, but man, I just need to pray. And sometimes we need to pray for each other and allow each other to just, oh, man, Billy Kelly, I'm just put my hand on my heart. I want to pray for you. Your heart's hurting right now. So one of the deeper meanings of the act of circumcision that's due to the circumcision is a man becomes restricted from certain relationships. That's why he said, don't take a wife for my son from Canaan, because lust is in their inheritance, and it's not fitting for the circumcised to associate with a lustful. God would say, be ye separate. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Paul wrote in Romans 2, that a true Jew is not merely obeying the letter of the law, rather is a change of heart produced by the Spirit. If we've all been born of the water and of the Spirit, and we feel like we've been caught in the monotony of life, and we've been caught in the same routine, we may need just another heart circumcision. You know what? It's good to hurt, because dead people can't feel. People that are emotionally dead and something tragic happens to them, they can't feel a thing. They're unfazed by any tragedy. And similar really to that is people that are spiritually dead can walk in here and a move of God could take place and they don't feel nothing. I don't ever come into the house of God ever and just feel nothing. Lord, if I need to hurt for you to touch my heart again, Abraham was called a friend of God and he hurt. And it was precious to him. I want you to make a promise to me. I want you to go out and find somebody for my son Isaac. Because there's some promises to be fulfilled in my home, in my life, in my house. They can't be fulfilled until this takes place. As far as allowing oneself to be under the authority of the master, there's no greater example than Christ himself. It's in Philippians 2, 7 and 8 that says, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of the servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. He maintained a humble spirit, and he maintained an obedient spirit. If there's any time I need to pattern my life after Christ right now, this is the time to do it. Time to get alone with him. There's times where we need to pray together like we did tonight, but there's times that we need to get alone with God. Jesus, learn to just get alone. I need some one-on-one time. He was a great example. I need to press through and pray through the night. If you need a breakthrough in your life, it's only going to come through a breakthrough in your prayer life. God told me to tell somebody here tonight, you need a breakthrough. It's going to come through a breakthrough in your prayer life. Another thing, a servant who prays has the authority to carry out his master's plan or his mission. When you pray for your master. You pray for the things of his house. You pray for what matters to him, what he cares about. There's a certain amount of authority that goes with that. God, I believe he's calling us back to a heart of prayer. He goes, whatever I got to do to make this happen, if I got to go in there for recircumcision and cut your heart, I'm going to do that. Because it's not going to kill you. It's to let you know you're alive and that you can feel. In verse 15, it says this, and it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born of Bethuel, son of Melek, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And verse 17, do you have 17 up there? Can I give it 17 through 20? And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. In verse 18, and she said, drink, my lord, and she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him to drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. Verse 20. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. The master's servant prayed a specific prayer that was in detail. That was not a monotonous prayer. That wasn't, okay, in one ear and out the other, I'm just going to pray this same old prayer like I prayed yesterday, and I'm going to get the same old result. God wants us to be specific with him. He wants you to start to write things down. Get a prayer journal. Be specific in your prayer life. Pray with that open heart. There is no more monotony that's going to take place here for the next few weeks, the next who knows however long it's going to take. We're going to pray. We're going to trust God, believing what he has next for us. God wants us to share the details of our life with him. I'm going to end with this tonight. God can hear through all the clutter and the noise of our life. God has no problem when we're in the midst of all the noise. He can hear us. He can hear what we think. He can hear what we whisper. He doesn't have to hone in. He knows us very well. There could be a lot of noise going on in our life right now. You could be getting some phone calls. You could be thinking some things across your mind right now, be going across your mind that be like, what is this all about? God knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows if you whisper his name, he can hear it through all this clutter. And I'm so thankful for that. I want you to take this word home with you tonight. This one in Jeremiah 32:27, it says, "Behold, the Lord, the God of all flesh, is there anything too hard for me?" There is nothing too difficult for God right now in this church. There is nothing too difficult for God in our life here right now. This is nothing for him. This is not my church. This is his church. And he's got this. And right now, we have an opportunity not to be self-centered. We need to pray for that church in Moline Silvas tonight. Because there's some people that they're hurting right now. They don't know what's going to happen next. There's a lot of uncertainty there. So we could be an intercessor for the Master's house in Moline Silvas tonight. And in return, they could be an intercessor in the Master's house tonight in Moline and pray for the church in Sandwich. And we could pray for each other. We could pray for brothers and sisters. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." God's got this. It's his way of saying, don't worry about it. Trust me. Learn to trust me. I don't want to put you out in the wilderness. That's not your destination. The wilderness is not a place I want you to stay. The wilderness is a place I want you to trust me. And I want to take you to the next step. I want you to take you to the where I want to fulfill this promise for this, what I've spoken over this church, what I've spoken over your life personally. Details, be specific with God. I'm sure there's some things that you prayed about that you've forgotten about, but God did not forget one thing that you prayed about. It could have been 10 years ago, and it could have been 30 years ago. God did not forget what you prayed about when you were on your knees at night, when you rolled out of bed, and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and he did not forget that. Time has passed, and things have happened in your life, and you may have forgotten about it. He goes, I did not forget that in your life. And we're going to get a breakthrough in this church. We're going to get a breakthrough individually if we can stand right now. It's going to come through prayer. We're going to engage in this. We're not going to sit here and have a spectator mentality. We're going to break through. We're going to have individuals that are going to break through. In your personal life, we're going to have breakthroughs to where we're going to see children pray through to the Holy Ghost that we see praying here on a Sunday morning. I've prayed for my daughters, the ones that haven't received the gift of the Holy Ghost. I prayed for faith every night. But I also pray for Ethan and Peyton. I pray, Lord, for Camilla and Jocelyn. I pray, Lord, for, he's not here now. I pray for Gary Piles. I pray, Lord, for Carla Davis. How about those ones that come in the van? I don't even know their names. I don't know one name. But they're sitting here, right in front of me every Sunday. I want to pray for them. I want to see a breakthrough in their life. They get a breakthrough in church, going to get a breakthrough in their home. They're not going to be the only ones coming to church. It's going to affect their home life. We're going to see revival. I'm expecting a revival out of this. I need this to be revived. I need this heart to be touched, to be revived. We need to be honest with ourselves, be honest with each other, and be honest before God. God, I want to share my heart before you. Lord, I'm hurt right now. I'm not sure of some things in my life. But Lord, nothing took you by surprise lately.
if the wilderness is the place where you need to take me to where I need to trust you, Lord, Lord, I'll go there. But I know that's not the place where you want me to stay, because you have somewhere to where you want to fulfill a promise. I don't want this to be passed on to another generation. I want to see this with these eyes. I want to be a Caleb and Joshua. Say, let us go up and possess it, because we are well able to overcome it. I want to overcome any obstacle in my mind and my heart, what may feel right now. Lord, hallelujah. Lord, hallelujah. Take us to where you want us to be in our heart and our mind here tonight in Jesus' name. Lord, hallelujah, Lord. You don't have to come to the altar, but maybe we could just pray with a brother or a sister just for a few minutes.